Let us pray. Lord, there's nothing that compares to you. There is none like you. It's our prayer that this coming week that we will live our worship before you because of all that you have done for us. Lord, we ask even now as we continue to worship you by reading of your word, and we ask, Lord, you'll speak to us. Lord, please speak through me. I'm nothing without you. Please encourage us, comfort us from your word. And Lord, may you receive all glory and honor. May you be exalted in all things. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. As we continue preaching, teaching through 1 and 2 Thessalonians on Sunday mornings. I do need to tell you that I had oral surgery this week. And I know I already talk funny. But if I talk a little funnier today, that's the reason why. And but I'm honored and privileged that I am able to be here this morning to preach. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Again, we're in context of the Lord's return as we finished up chapter 4 last Sunday. And this is a continuation, speaking of the Lord's return, that the first time that he came, he came as the suffering servant, as the deliverer, the redeemer, one that gave his life on the cross. And the day of the Lord, as we're looking at this morning, and his second return, he will come back as king. He will come back as judge. And ready or not, he will be coming. So, in light of that, this passage of Scripture and the remainder of 1 Thessalonians is in light of Christ's return and how you and I ought to be living godly and be witnesses and be ready for his return. It says in verse 1, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you." Now, the times and seasons are very important. We do not know the day or the hour, but we certainly can see the season that we are living in. Just like you and I, most of the time can tell it's spring, summer, fall, or winter. We need to realize the season in which we are living in today. It's a lot like the traveler traveling through Texas, and at a gas station when he was gassing up, there was a rope hanging down from the eave of a roof, and above that rope it said weather forecaster. And he asked, "How's that rope the weather forecast?" And the owner of that gas station said, "Well, when that rope is swaying, it means it's windy. If it's wet, it means it's raining. If it's dry, it means the sun is shining and it's hot. And if it's frozen, it means it's snowing." Weather forecaster. And that's a lot like you and I as we are to live our Christian life and be ready for his return. We certainly can know the season in which we're living in. And as we have studied through the book of Revelation on Sunday nights, and Lord willing will be in the book of Daniel on Sunday nights, you and I certainly need to realize the season that you and I are in, that Christ could come back any time. Amen? So we need to be ready, because the day of the Lord is coming. And it says, brethren, that's speaking to you and I, born-again believers, to the church. And it says in verse 2, For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, again, this is speaking of His second return. It speaks of judgment. Judgment is coming. The day of the Lord. In the Old Testament, it always spoke of judgment day. So judgment is coming. The King is coming. And it says that that day so comes as a thief in the night. So the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Now a good thief can steal something at a time that it'll take you a while unless it's something that you need right away. But a good thief can steal something and you won't even know it's missing for a while. That's being a good thief. And it says that in the night, a thief comes in the night when you're not ready for it and unexpected or when you're asleep. It's a lot like a few nights ago, a couple of weeks ago, a green SUV drove up in front of our church. We have it on camera and stole the two wreaths off the front doors of the church. And, you know, it happened, I believe, wasn't it about 2 o'clock in the morning, what the camera said? And that's in the middle of the night. We wasn't expecting that. I guess they needed those wreaths pretty bad, but it was a green SUV, a lot like what Miss Edith drives. I didn't hear what you said. Yeah. But that happened in the middle of the night. We wasn't expecting that, Miss Edith. But no, it wasn't Miss Edith. But that's when a thief comes. So is the day of the Lord, comparing it to a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction. So when man says peace and safety, so will the day. It'll be a lot like the days of Noah, the Lord Jesus said in the book of Matthew. But when man says peace and safety, can mankind create peace and safety on this earth? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So when man thinks he finally got it all together, with whatever avenue man thinks he can do it with, whether it's with religion or just kumbaya and everyone believe whatever and we'll all just get along and they'll bring peace and then we'll have safety. God says it'll be destruction after that. Because man cannot conjure up peace and safety apart from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He can be religious all that he wants to be. You read Revelation, there's a lot of worshiping and religion happening in the last days, but they're not worshiping the King of Kings. So when man says peace and safety, it's going to be sudden destruction. The day of the Lord will come. And it says with sudden destruction, and it says that they shall have no escape, but this sudden destruction, verse 3, comes upon them. Now, this is a contrast. He's speaking to the brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ. Then it says, upon them. That's people apart from Christ. Again, I want to remind you, there are two families mentioned in Scripture. The family of God and the family of the devil. Jesus told the religious leaders, called them hypocrites, and said, you're of your father, the devil. So there's two families in Scripture. You are not my brother and sister unless you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Yeah, all of humanity, we're all in it together and all that, but we're not brothers and sisters unless you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen? I'll help you all I can, but you're not my brother and sister unless you know Jesus. Amen? So there's two families, and upon them, apart from Jesus Christ, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And You know, my wife has had 3 children, and we've been blessed, and just thinking of her going into labor. The first one was pretty rough, but those last two were so easy. She's not in here, I can say that. She's doing children's church. But I mean, those labor pains just came all of a sudden upon her. And many of you women can relate to that. And the baby, whether whatever was happening in our life at that time, when she went into labor, we dropped everything and we went to the doctor. So when Jesus comes back, when man says peace and safety, there'll be sudden destruction, and mankind will not be able to hold it back. Just like a pregnant woman fixing to give birth. So, and they shall not escape, will not be able to hide from the judge when he comes. Also, we read on in verse 4, but you, speaking of you and I, brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Again, this contrast between the godly and the ungodly, between the righteous and the unrighteous, of day and of night, and light and darkness. And we're sons of light. We're in Christ. We're in the family of God. So this day shall not overtake us as them, it says. But you and I should know the season. We should be ready at all times. And it says in verse 5, again, you are all sons of light and sons of the day, were not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. This is not speaking, you know, sleep in Thessalonians. Sleep can mean death to the child of God. It's sleep in Christ. Or it could be a physical sleep. Here, sleep means morality. Being immoral means to be asleep. It means not being living godly. It means that you're ungodly. You're not ready. You're asleep morally. You're not prepared. So it says that, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. So concerning you and I, one thing we need to do is watch and be sober. This means to be alert. Like being on guard duty, those of you who have been or are in the military at this time, being on guard duty and you're alert. You're not to fall asleep. It's like a hunter, deer hunting. And you're out there and you're always alert. You're listening. You're watching. My daddy would put me out on a deer stand when I was a little bitty boy way before daylight. I guess he had to go get on his stand. And one morning, I was out there sitting on a stump, and I said, well, I'm going to just go back to sleep, and daylight comes, I'll wake up. So I was kind of sitting there. It was dark. I was a little old boy, and something woke me up, and there was a deer. I mean, it wasn't from here to that bench from me. I was on the ground. I was not ready. I could have killed that deer if I would have been alert. So you and I, like a hunter, being alert, watchful. What was that? Did I hear that? And you and I need to be watching world events and seeing how you and I are to be witnesses and be on the alert for Christ's return. Know the season. We don't know the day or hour, but know the season that you and I are living in. So be watchful, be sober, be on the alert, and be sober. This means to have self-control. Don't let the world control you. Don't let the things of the world control you. Our Sunday school lesson taught us to say no to self, deny self. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. That means denying self. Don't let your selfishness control you. Let the Holy Spirit of God control you. Have self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit of God which dwells in you. So be sober. Don't let the world control you. You control. Let the Holy Spirit control your thoughts and actions. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk are drunk at night. Again, a contrast of living godly compared to being ungodly or being worldly or being living for Christ. This contrast of night and being drunk compared by being sober and in the light. So it says, be in the light. Watch and be sober. Don't be of the night, but be of the day and of the light. And that means for you and I, what is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path? What is that? That's God's Word. It says in Psalm 119, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. His light shines in us and through us. We are not to be hiding the light, but we should be like a city set on a hillside, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, and we are to let His light shine. So, again, this contrast of being worldly and ungodly compared to being godly and righteous. You and I are to be godly and righteous and be in the Scriptures, be in Christ, living for Him. Also, it tells us here in verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, again, alert, self-control, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. These are three attributes of the Christian life the Apostle Paul keeps reminding us in his letters. Faith, hope, and love. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter, the greatest of these is love. But this is the Christian armor. Again, in Ephesians chapter 6, it tells us the whole armor of God and whatever peace represents, and it all represents Jesus Christ. We are to be in Christ. But you and I, in light of the Lord's return, should be alert and as a good soldier, have on the armor of God. Hope, assurance, love, faith, which it goes way beyond saving faith, which is believe in Jesus Christ, but it's trusting and obeying, it's being faithful, committed, being persistent in our Christian walk. So this is the armor that you and I are to be alert with, because we are in a spiritual struggle, we are in a spiritual battle, we are part of a spiritual warfare. We have an enemy, the devil, that you and I are to battle against. So have on the whole armor. And it says, verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath. In the book of Revelation, when you study that, the child of God never, ever experiences the wrath of God. When He comes back and He pours out His wrath on the earth, the child of God does not experience that. Now, in Revelation, the child of God experiences what the devil does and his demons and all that. But when God comes and brings His judgment and wrath upon the earth, it never mentions the child of God. We're not appointed unto His wrath. Everyone say, hallelujah. We're not appointed to God's wrath. That's a hallelujah every day. And every day, hallelujah. So But, listen to this, verse 9, but to obtain salvation. Yes, we're elected, we're chosen, and all of that, but you and I have a faith response. This is man's response, human's response to obtain salvation, to believe on Jesus Christ, to live for Him. That's our response to the gospel message. That's our response to His grace and to His mercy that He extends to us as an unmerited gift from God. You and I receive it by faith. And it's only, it says here, only through who? Not yourself, but through Jesus Christ. You cannot do it yourself. Your faith must be in Jesus Christ to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. A personal relationship. He's a personal God. And we have salvation only through Jesus Christ. Our response is by faith. By faith. Verse 10. Who died for us. If you can obtain salvation through a sacrament or through self-effort or this believing a certain doctrine, Jesus died in vain. If you can obtain salvation by speaking in tongues or being baptized in water, Jesus died in vain. He died for you and for me. Why did God come in the flesh and die on a cross if you can obtain salvation by what you can do? Everyone say that's a lie from hell if you can do that. You cannot obtain salvation. It is only through Jesus Christ. If you believe any other way, you need to repent and turn to Jesus. Place your faith in Him before He comes back. Don't believe a counterfeit religion or a false gospel. It's only through Jesus. Obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, whether we're alive or dead, this is again the Christian term for death, whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. You should be living with Christ right now if you're a child of God. Verse 11, folks, there's assurance when you know your faith is in Jesus. If your assurance is what you... I'm talking to religious people this morning. If you can obtain salvation, if you think you can have salvation by your good works, or believing a certain doctrine, or be a member of a church, or being baptized, or anything such as that. If your assurance is in that, Lord, help you. You have no assurance. You have no security. And if I was you, I would be scared to death of death. You see, religious people or good people, it's hard for you to believe the simple gospel because you have been inoculated with a little truth, just enough to keep you from believing the truth. It's like taking a flu shot. You've been given just a little bit of truth. Now it's kept you from believing the truth. Believe the Scriptures. Jesus died for you. Receive that. Receive it. And you'll have assurance. You'll have security. You'll have a relationship with God. Nothing else offers that. Nothing. Therefore, comfort each other. This is to encourage each other. Encourage. Oh, I've heard men in the church say, give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. What does that have to do with comfort and encouraging one another? Does it? That sounds pretty evil to me. Help one another. Encourage one another. Comfort each other. And edify one another. This means to build up, encourage, build up. Hey, stand true for Christ. You may have messed up, but come on, let's get back to the fight. Put on the whole armor, brother. Put on the whole armor, sister. Stay faithful. Comfort and edify, build up, encourage one another just as you also are doing. Are you doing it? Are you comforting, encouraging each other? I guarantee you this. If self is who you worship, you're mad if someone ain't doing it to you. If self is who you worship, it's hard for you to build up and comfort somebody else. Because it's all about you. But see, when you have the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet of salvation, that hope of salvation, that certainty of knowing Christ, you can edify and comfort other people with that. Are you doing it? Listen to this statement. Prepare for a 1,000-year voyage. In your life, prepare for a 1,000-year voyage. But be ready to abandon ship anytime. Did you get that? Be ready to abandon ship just anytime. Why? Jesus can come back anytime. That's why. Comfort and edify one another. Jesus is coming back. Folks, something better's coming. Something better than what we have right now. I mean, you may be saying, hey, peace and safety for me right now. It won't last. I promise you, that won't last here in this life. But I do know this. We need to be ready. Because he can come back any time. Comfort each other with this. Let us pray. Lord, again we thank you for your precious word. And Lord, your word brings us so much encouragement and comfort. And yet it may bring rebuke to others. Or chastisement to others. It's amazing how your word can work in people's hearts and in my heart. Lord, we do thank you that we have your assurance of your return. God, I pray that we'll be ready. That we'll be living for you. And I pray for those who have trusted in other things. May they lay their pride down. Because you resist the proud. You give grace to the humble. May they lay down their pride and come to you this morning by faith, believing in you and receiving your grace. And I ask this in the name of Jesus, who can do it. Amen.